Hello, this is Richard Alabon talking about the paranormal, which has to be either fake or it is normal. We're exposed to so much make-believe from films and television that we could be excused for thinking that the whole thing is fake. But my guest today is Vicky Sweetlove, who only lives 10 miles from me, and she's one of these people who was brought up in a psychic household, where the paranormal was normal, not something strange or exciting, but something that had to be endured. And she isn't the first of my guests who have had to live in this way. She has been able to put her talents to good use, carrying out a remarkable range of ways to help people and animals. So let's welcome my guest for today. Hello, Vicky.
Hello.
Okay. Now, I wanted to talk to you, first of all, about your natural abilities, which were developed, I believe, mainly at the College of Psychic Studies in London.
No, I've had my abilities since I was a child. I grew up with a mother that believed in fairies and ghosts, and we had ghostly experiences, and she used to take me out to see the fairies and be in touch with nature. So we always had ghostly happenings in the places we lived in. She got pushed down the stairs and my brother got scratched on his face, and I've been saved by many a ghostly experience in my life, so I've grown up with it.
I have spoken to other people that have had to put up with, was the word that was used, put up with these strange experiences. But you've turned it to a certain amount of good advantage as far as you're concerned, in that you try and help other people and animals and so on.
Yes. When I was about 6 or 7 years old, I always had a boxer dog who was my best friend since we used to move house a lot. So this boxer dog used to come everywhere with me on my bike, and we talked to each other. And this dog used to run along beside my bike, and we used to go out all day and go for about 30 miles and come home, and then my mother would have my dinner ready.
Yeah.
So it's not something you could do these days with your children, is it?
No. But since then, I believe you've done some animal healing, and you could understand about a horse that had toothache and this sort of thing.
Yes. I went to feng shui a house and sought out the earth energies there because they were having problems with spirits and geopathic stress. And while I was there, they had a greyhound which had a chip in his head. They did it so that he wouldn't get lost or stolen. And the poor dog was obviously having migraines or really bad headaches. And he wouldn't let me touch him to give him any healing. So I asked for a photo of him. And I did some healing in another room, and the next instant he came walking in, nuzzled his head underneath my hand just to say, like, thank you, and then he walked away again. And I thought that was just so nice that he'd understood what I'd been doing for him. The horse at the same place in the stables, we were walking around because she said she'd had a problem with a horse, and she said, "Oh, don't go near this guy, you know, he bites you." And I just tuned in and asked him what was the matter. And he said, "Nobody understands. I've got toothache." He said, "When I'm grinding my teeth and gnawing the stable, I'm trying to tell them it's my teeth, he said. So once that was understood, he got sorted out.
Yes. Well, the people do have these experiences and abilities, which most people don't understand. I find it difficult, but I'm quite interested and so on. And so that's why I found it interesting to talk to you and to hear what you've been doing over the years. And I believe you go and remove attachments to people and dwellings where they have some sort of problem.
Yes, there seems to be a lot of people now needing help, probably with the change in energies that we've all been having with earthquakes and hurricanes and storms and everything. The whole world has been upset, and it's upset all the etheric energies as well. And lots of people now are coming to me asking for advice on spirit attachments in their home and on themselves. So a lot of my work is working with people like that and their homes, obviously. And then I do some earth acupuncture, or I will tune in with God's light and do some healing on the person to remove any entities.
Mm. And sometimes you do crystal healing with a crystal which seems to help or help make contact. Is that so?
Well, I like to use various crystal pendulums, and when I do my teaching on courses, I'll explain that different crystals have different energies. I particularly like to use lapis when I'm working on a person because it's very gentle, or rose quartz. But if I was doing earth energy work, I'd prefer to go for something like citrine, something that's got really sort of heavy energy to it. And mainly when I'm working on a person, you need to be aware their auric fields can be a bit out of place. So I try to balance their chakras and their auric fields. And this is even before I start work on removing any attachments or anything, because you have to heal what's already there and remove anything that's there. And then when you have to put the auric field back in place. So any holes in the aura need to be sealed up and made whole again.
Yes. This is just presumably making some sort of mind-to-mind contact or psychic contact, whatever you like to call it, and this sometimes shows up as a glow or an aura. Is that a reasonable explanation?
Well, when I tune into the aura, I usually tune into a person's heart chakra, so I'm pushing the energy into my left hand, and then I'll feel for the aura, auric field, and feel for any anomalies that I feel, so it be hot or cold or tingly, any different sensation to what it should normally feel within the auric field. And then that will help me discover then what's going on with the body.
Yes, it's a very complicated business. Different people have a different way of contacting the person they're healing or trying to understand, but and I suppose you develop your own way. Sometimes it's using a particular crystal, or sometimes it's just touching or this sort of thing.
Well, yeah. I work a lot on spiritual healing, so the crystals are just an additive, as it were. So although the crystals have got energy and they come in and give their energy too, suppose I'm a tool, really, I would say, that I'm a channel for any healing energies that come through. And I work with the light source so that any healing that comes through me is not from me, but from God's light, I would like to say.
And another thing you have done is dowsing for water.
Yes, yeah. No matter what I do, I can't seem to get away from people ringing me up and saying, can you help me find pipes that are leaking in my house, or people want water for their central heating, or water for a golf course. And just recently I had an art project with a lady called Amy Sharrock, whereby she was dowsing with me six of the old rivers of London. And I mapped them out, dowsed them. And then we walked the rivers from the source down to the Thames. And each walk varied in length from 2 hours to 6 hours. And it was quite a long time we did this over. It was over 2 years. I had another walk this last September. And we were then filmed by a TV company actually from America that was filming about the old rivers of London. There's a lot of interest in the old rivers of London at the moment. There's been two books come out on the subject. So it's quite nice that whatever I doused has actually been verified in these books. So I'm really grateful for them.
Yes. Yes, well, it's nice to get confirmation, I'm sure. Now,
sorry?
Yes, now another thing I believe you do is past life readings. You have been involved with that. With Denise, I see the name Denise Lynn on your website. She works with you on past life readings, does she?
No. I went to America to train as one of Denise Lynn's soul coaches. I was first drawn to her with the feng shui because she was one of the first feng shui people many years ago. Now she does what they call soul coaching, where you look at past life scenarios and how it affects our current lives. So it's doing some regressions and some meditations really to get back to past life to heal this life. And I also did a Akashic Record training in Mexico with a chap called Ernesto Ortiz. And I'm a fourth generation of learning the Akashic Records and how they're read. And what I've done is I combined giving Akashic Records with the soul coaching. So there involves some past life regressions during the readings if they come up.
And that helps sometimes with healing or finding some psychological problem which people may have.
Yes, I mean, for example, today I was at the College of Psychic Studies where I do some of my Akashic Record readings there. There'll be people that come in and they want to know their various pathways in their life, what choices they should make with partners or work or where they should live. And the Akashic Records is really good for showing you the way. And sometimes if they have something physically wrong in their body, this particular lady told me she had some pains in her tummy recently, and it came through that she had some gynae problems. Well, I know through Chinese health that anything to do with that area is to do with relationships. She's having a problem with relationships. And we went back to a past life where a similar scenario was happening, she told me, to what was happening in this life. And we changed the scene. And because she'd released herself from her scenario from this present time, she actually became very emotional because she'd cut the ties. So it's really quite wonderful how these Akashic Record readings work, actually.
Yeah. Perhaps you could explain to me what... I don't really know much about Akashic Records. Perhaps you could tell me a little bit about it.
In what respect? How the reading goes?
Well,
or
is it an ancient Chinese system, or is it a...
No, it was developed many years ago by, back in the 60s, a chap from Mexico who's a business learner with prayer.
Your sound is coming and going. Would it be the battery in your phone or something?
No, because I'm on landline. Sometimes it gets buzzy and sometimes not. I don't know what it is.
No, I will.
So, perhaps now, Vicky, it would be a good time for me to talk about your sixth sense, as well as the Akashic Records. I've looked up on the web about Akashic Records, which came apparently from Hindu philosophy and ancient Egyptian beliefs, which they called the Hall of Records. It suggested that these records are like an immense photographic film, which has recorded all the life experiences of every human being up to now. You might view that as a crazy idea, but I view it as something which is in all of us, in the same way that we are all instinctive creatures and live by instinct and emotion. And this brings us to the question, how does instinctive information get into the brain of each one of us? It's no good saying it's in the DNA. The science of biology suggests that it is transferred from the species to each new individual of that species from mind to mind. That certainly is a new way of looking at instinct. But if we all read and learn from this book of instinct, we can all read and learn from the Hall of Records book, containing all past life experiences. That's what instinct is and how it works. So is also what sensitive people read from someone's mind and what they call the Akashic Records library. We all appear to hold some old records of deceased people, which sensitive people like Vicky can bring out. Sometimes it's known as past life regression. And these old memories can sometimes adversely affect the person concerned. If these old records can be accessed and an explanation is given to that person, it allows a clearing of the mind to bring about a change for the good. But it all comes down to the mind-to-mind system that puts the information there in the first place, followed by the power of mind-to-mind of the sensitive person who is able to read the past life. That's the Akashic record information or instinct. Call it what you like. It all appears to be fundamentally the same. The Hindus and ancient Egyptians seem to have been aware of this, but today we can still find people who can read what is in someone else's mind. Call it telepathy or Akashic records or whatever you like. So it's quite amazing what I found by searching on the internet. I've never heard of Akashic records before today. So now back to you, Vicky.
Right. And I believe you do courses and workshops to try and help train other people to make the best of their natural abilities. Is that right?
Yes, yeah, I teach British Society of Dowsers courses in London. I teach the Intro to Dowsing, which covers all aspects of dowsing for health and water, archaeological dowsing, and all the basics that people can make their choices as to how they'd like to move forward once they've learned all about dowsing. And you'll be surprised at some of the skeptics that come in and say, oh, no, don't know if I can do all this. And then at the end of the day, they're the ones that want to know more, and they're the really great dowsers. I had a chap there the other week, and he really wasn't quite sure about his dowsing ability at all. But he was really into dowsing for earth energies, and he could feel the energy up through his body and his feet. And he said, oh, it's here. I know it's here. And he actually went into a motion where his body would sway, and he could feel the sickness in his body as he stood over an earth energy line that wasn't good for him. And then we went to another sacred place. He said, oh, this feels nice. This feels a good spot. So although he's very new to dowsing, he picked it up straight away.
Mm.
So it's amazing when people do things like that, particularly like the Earth Energies dowsing courses. I do 3 out of the BSD 6 with geopathic stress and EMFs, and I do a geopsychic stress one, which I'm teaching in a month's time, and also the spirit of place. And although they all sound very similar, they're all very different, because one is tuning into nature, another one is dealing with environmental energies that are man-made as well as earth-made. And then the other one is dealing, obviously, with spirits and elemental kingdoms. It's all very different.
Yeah. And now I got in contact with you through the Spirit Release Organization, and I think you've done some work for them, well, along those lines, releasing personal understanding, personal psyche, and of an individual, which is sort of like past life regression. Is that right? It tends to rely on a particular individual's experience in the past, or their previous life, or whatever.
Well, when I am called to do spirit release, it's normally when people have problems in their houses, where they have energies that are wandering around their house that shouldn't be there, and it's normally where there's been a ghost gate or a portal opened. So I'll normally map out before I go for geopathic stress energies and look to see where this portal is and close it remotely before I arrive on site, and then deal with the earth energies on site with earth acupuncture. And that usually deals with everything. Sometimes I've had elementals that have come into the house as well that are affecting the energies in the home, or they'll mess with people's water pipes, and people have things go missing and then appear again somewhere else. That is one type of spirit release that I do.
But you mentioned elementals.
Elemental kingdoms are the fairies, the pixies, the water undines.
Ah, yes. Yes, I see.
And they can sometimes be a little bit mischievous if they come into your home.
Mm. Right. Now then, my particular interest in all this is to try and see the way all these things are related to an individual like yourself. I mean, starting off perhaps with understanding animals and things you had in your household as a child and the experiences there, and how that is all the same as all these other healing and dowsing and all these other experiences and all these works you do. I view these things as all the same. I wonder if you do, and can you sort of put a word to it, as it were? I mean, the word sensitive or psychic perhaps isn't.
It's being very sensitive.
Yes.
And it's not only being sensitive to what's in the ether and to energy, but also my body is sensitive to chemicals. I can't take headache pills. I have to be very careful about foods I eat. I have to make sure it's all home cooked, not cooked in a microwave or anything like that. And I have to be very careful with electromagnetic fields. I can't sit near computers. I can't have Wi-Fi in my house, and I can't have wireless phones. So being a sensitive to me is also being sensitive to things around me as well that are man-made.
Mm.
So it's being aware of man-made energies and energies that are from the earth, from spirit, from the sky.
Mm.
You know, it's being sensitive to everything that's around you.
In contact with nature. I was just going to say that. You mentioned the word nature a little earlier on, and I think that's really what it amounts to. But that enables you to sometimes contact other people using sort of mind to mind, as it were, or in some way you can sense problems that they have, either psychological or physical.
In my case, I've never grown up, so I've never let adults tell me that that doesn't exist or you shouldn't believe in that.
Mm.
I've always grown up knowing that, yes, these things are there. There are pixies, there are fairies, there are ghosts, there are spirits. There's energies out there. So I've never let that go.
Mm.
And I think that's what's wrong with most people these days. They always had that ability as a child, but then as they grew up, they were told not to have it, that it was silly.
Yeah, I understand.
So people don't believe. I mean, I've healed myself on many occasions. You know, I won't go to a doctor's unless I'm nearly at death's door, as it were.
Mm.
And even then, it's only to find out what's wrong with me, and then I'll go back and see what I can do to heal myself with God's light, as it were, and their instructions from above.
Yeah.
As they usually say to me, oh, we'll go here, go there, and off I go. It's just listening and believing what you hear is the right thing. People don't listen to that little voice that says that.
No.
And you can call it your higher self. You can call it your spirit guide, whatever you like.
Mm.
People need to start listening to that intuition, as it were, again.
Yeah. And the phrase sixth sense is used sometimes, and I suppose that's sort of relevant if you listen using some sort of other sense that most people don't have or appreciate, don't even realize it's there, or won't realize that it's there. But if you listen in that sort of way, you do hear and you can feel.
And people will be able to sense when they're in danger, when they shouldn't be able to go places, and even when it's a good place to go. You know, great, I'm going to go there. It's a good place.
Mm.
I mean, people say they feel energy when they go to places like Stonehenge and Avebury, but do they actually feel it themselves, or are they just being told that they should feel it?
Well, I'm
you
sure.
You know, is it en masse? Yeah. Because really, that people should tune in when there's no one else there. And really go somewhere where nobody else goes either. Somewhere really in the middle of nowhere, like Long Meg and her daughters. That's up north. I mean, that's a really energetic place.
Yes, I know. Well, I've been to some of these. I've been to Stonehenge, but actually Stonehenge is something which I'm very fascinated in, and I've researched a bit in my own sort of way. And in fact, on the book I've written, Sublimity, I have a picture of Stonehenge as it was originally planned and built. And then subsequently it was changed. Then that's by the way. And another thing that experience of my family, my mother was sensitive to a certain extent, and she travelled out to Scotland, and they called in at Loch Ness. And on the shores of Loch Ness, she sort of relaxed and took in the nature of the place, and she was quite convinced that she saw something in the water, which a lot of other people do report from time to time. And that's a well-known one, isn't it?
Yeah. People don't seem to talk about Loch Ness at all these days. I don't know if it's Scotland anymore.
Well, it was a good few years ago that my mother went there, but she was quite convinced that she had seen something in the water. But my stepfather, who was with her, was quite appalled, you know, and said, "Don't be so stupid, you know, there's nothing there." Anyway, that's how it is. Okay, now you have a website or two. Perhaps people would like to look at that. And it
yes,
is.
Yes, my website's Feng Shui Life, that's fengshuilife.co.uk, life.co.uk. And on that, you'll find everything I do with my courses and my consulting with feng shui and dowsing and the Akashic records.
Yeah. Yes, in fact, I'm sitting here looking at it, and it starts off with a coloured photograph of yourself.
Oh, right.
Right. Well, thanks very
and
much,
I'm
Vicky.
And the Spirit Release Foundation as well.
Yes, that's right. And yes, spiritreleasefoundation.com, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, no, spiritrelease.com. Yeah, it's their website. In fact, I put that on the written description I do of this program. Yes, well, thanks very much, Vicky, for talking to me and telling me about your experiences and abilities and all the rest. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Been good talking to you.
Yeah.
Bye then.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I'm surprised that with a bit of searching, I can find people with such an amazing story to tell, and then to learn from them how many different paranormal powers they have. But I think really that I've got that wrong. To Vicky, they are in no way paranormal, and when it comes down to it, they are not different. They are all the result of being sensitive. Sensitive to what is in a person or animal's mind, or sensitive to physical or mental pain, as well as sensitivity to the presence of a bad memory in a room or building, or even the presence of hidden water. For some of these things, Vicky uses a quartz pendulum, which helps with her sensitivity. And she's able to read the old Akashic records, not Akanshic, which I said earlier. Visit Vicky's website, which is 3W's Feng Shui Life, and that's spelled fengshuilife.co.uk. She's put lots on there about the things we spoke of today. This is Richard Alabone signing off from webtalkradio.net for today. Listen again next week. Bye for now.